Welcome to Nocturnal Admissions, the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast. I'm Deanna Rilling. For this week's podcast, I caught up with DJ producer Minnow DeYoung on Saturday, February 13th, before his gig for Paul Oakenfold's Perfecto at Rain. I'm here on location at Nove, high atop Las Vegas over here at the Palms, and my guest for the podcast is Minnow DeYoung. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Minnow DeYoung, that's it.
Okay. And so I guess first off, this is your second time in Vegas. You're going to be playing at Rain again. You were just here in December. So what was your first experience in Vegas like, as opposed to the time you were first here when you were 11 and went to Circus Circus?
Well, it was a pretty wild night. I came here without really knowing what to expect, and it ended up being pretty awesome. The club's amazing, Rain's amazing, and the show was very good. And there was a good crowd there as well. It's definitely a good night. So
the last time I talked to you, you said you were working on a mix album. How's the progress of that coming?
It is absolutely nearly done. Like, I sent an email out just before I came here telling people it's the last chance to send me tracks for the mix compilation. So pretty much when I get home, I'm going to start on compiling, mixing, and getting everything over to production. So.
Now, another thing you mentioned when I last spoke to you is that you were also considering working on an artist album.
That's it.
As well. Might we see that this year, too?
I hope to have it finished by the end of the year. It would be great, but I don't know. I don't want to let it go until it's absolutely 100% what I want it to be, you know? So it's a big step. And a lot of people in this scene put out albums just for the sake of putting out an album. I want to make it something that really tells people what I do, you know, and sort of represents what I want to make and, you know, the quality that I want to make as well. So.
Now for you, you started making music at a very early age. How would you describe what your earliest productions maybe sounded like? Would it even be part of maybe the trance or electronic music genre?
The earliest tracks, the first couple of tracks I did sound like complete shit. It's just awful, but I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe. It was mostly trance, but I did some you know, down-tempo breakbeat stuff, a whole bunch of things. I even made some hardcore tracks when I was a kid. I was 13 years old in my friend's basement, MS-DOS, you know, a program called Fast Tracker, and it's like very up-tempo techno sort of stuff in Holland, so yeah.
Do you remember the first time you heard electronic music, or maybe the first party that you went to?
Well, the first party I went to was when I was 10 years old.
That's crazy.
I'm from Holland. I live in Holland, but at the time, because of my dad's job, we were living in Germany, in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And some family of ours were visiting. My nephew was there, and he's like, "Oh, I want to go to this thing called the Love Parade." And I'm like, "Okay, can I come?" You know, and there's no minimum age because it's outdoor. It's a parade. You can just check it out, whatever you want. So we went, and there's all this music, these trucks, these people having a great time. Like, wow, what is this? You know, I want to be a part of this. So, you know, maybe that just sparked it. And so it was very interesting.
Have you seen the video of Techno Viking from the Love Parade at all?
No.
You haven't?
Is it?
It's pretty epic. It's pretty epic. It's this guy at Love Parade, and he's like, he looks like a Viking. He's completely built, and he's walking behind one of the trucks.
I think I've seen him, though.
Yeah, you've seen that. Yeah, that's pretty great. So for you, as far as the difference in the club culture, I mean, 10 years old is something unheard of that you would hear in the States, even at the Love Parade, their version in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, I played that last year.
There you go, and you're going to be playing this Sunday anniversary party.
Tomorrow, so
yeah.
No coincidence.
So, For you, what are maybe a couple of the other cultural significances, the differences that you've noticed between the U.S. and Holland?
Well, the thing is, when you turn on the radio here, everything is hip-hop. And, you know, whereas there is a pretty decent scene for hip-hop in the Netherlands or Europe, and, mm-hmm. you know, the significant portion of music that people listen to is just dance-oriented. You know, even the pop music sounds a lot like dance. So I guess you guys have Cascada here. That's sort of the poppy dance music that we get on radio,
okay.
Along with Tiesto, Armin, you know, Sander, all those guys. So,
mm-hmm. For you, since you are one of the younger guys in the industry, you've kind of found success pretty early. What are some of the challenges that you've had to face?
Well, I was going to university up to a year ago. At the same time, I was doing all the touring, all the studio work, and everything. So that killed me for a while. I was getting no sleep whatsoever, drinking 2-3 Red Bulls a day. Just, getting that behind me was a big deal, but now everything's feeling right, you know? It's probably the biggest challenge that any guy like me will run into is, you know, making sure you don't tour too much and spend too little time in the studio. It's pretty hard to, because, you know, I used to really work hard to get gigs when I was a kid, when I was 18 years old, 17 mm-hmm. years old. You know, you take everything you can get, and at some point you reach a point where there's more gigs than you can play a year, you know? So sometimes you just have to tell yourself, okay, you know, one or two weekends off, spend some time in the studio, make some music. So that's been going better lately, but it's definitely something you have to learn to live with, you know?
And you're 25, correct?
Yeah, I'm 25.
Okay. Who are maybe some of your biggest supporters that you've found thus far?
Well, guys like Armin, Tiesto, Paul van Dijk, they've always been playing my tracks, and that's definitely helped get my name out there, so, mm-hmm. you know, in a DJ sense, and, you know, I'm lucky to work with a really good group of people. For bookings, that's David Lewis, and, you know, I have Intuition Recordings as well. We have a really great crew for that. So, you know, just getting all that support behind you is really important. So.
Now, lately, it might just be specific to Vegas, but sometimes there's, like, backlash against trance, and people say it's over, or just people aren't as into it. A few times I've talked to producers that are like, oh, trance hasn't changed since the late 90s. So what's your view on the genre, and how would you classify what you spin?
Well, when I started spinning trance about 10 years ago, and back then it was very, very fast, you know, maybe not harder, but very, very melodic as well. And I think in the 10 years, in the past decade, it's developed in so many directions, because at some point you got progressive trance. There's progressive house these days, which sounds a lot like trance. You know, there's the techier trance. There's so much stuff out there. You can't really stigmatize it anymore. It's a beautiful genre, and there are cheesy tracks. There are very credible tracks at the same time. Right now, I would say that trance is so much more credible than house music or progressive music. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of commercial stuff out there, and people don't realize it. So, yeah.
Do you think maybe it's just more specific to some, like, there's more supporters for trance maybe in California or New York?
Definitely in California. California has a really good scene, and whereas New York has a nice scene as well, it's, for some reason, California has always had, like, the bigger festivals and everything. So, mm-hmm. I played the first real dance festival in New York last September, Electric Zoo Festival, mm-hmm. and that was big. That there was, I think, 15,000-16,000 people there. But then, okay. I mean, at the same time, the year before, I was playing EDC Festival in LA, mm-hmm. and there were about three times as many people there. It was unbelievable.
The one we just had last year or the year before?
I think the year before.
Okay. So, yeah. I was at that one too. It was good.
All right. But I ended up only playing 30 minutes because my flight was so late. But
oh, no.
It was a good 30 minutes.
Yeah. Kind of on the technology front, the new CDJ 2000s
yes.
are out. Have you gotten to play with those yet? Because I know when we talked before, you were kind of excited to get your hands on those.
Well, this is the first tour I'm doing completely on CDJ 2000, so mm-hmm. all I have is like a little CD folder with backup CDs, and I've been testing them for about a month now, and looking at the software, trying to find little things that they can update, and mm-hmm. you know, working with Pioneer on that, and I think it's a great step. I mean, the amount of music I can bring with me now without, you know, getting a really heavy suitcase.
Right. Are you going to start playing things off a USB stick? Or?
I know it sounds kind of dorky. Seriously, I've got a pretty badass USB stick, so I think that'll definitely make up for it.
Instead of comparing CD cases, people are going to be like, my USB stick's better than your USB
yeah,
stick.
Yeah, that's it.
So, maybe. And also, one thing that I've been chatting with a lot of the guys about now is the hearing protection in the clubs. And we touched upon this briefly in an article I did. But for you, what's your view on the whole hearing protection? Because I know a lot of people, they feel that they can't hear the monitors as well. Or do you use anything while you spin?
Well, I wear earplugs, and they take out about 15 decibels.
Okay.
And I find that's just enough to, you know, so to still hear what you're doing. They're linear filters, so basically it's like turning the volume down on your stereo. So mm-hmm. the sounds still come through very well. It's a bit of a trade-off. I like to feel the music.
Right.
On the one hand, but I mean, I do this, you know, professionally, so mm-hmm. I want to save my ears as much as possible. I'd highly recommend anyone to get them, especially the linear filters. They're very
mm-hmm. And then have you considered using the in-ear monitors at all?
I have, but I'm just afraid that I'm going to jump, I don't know, get up on the decks or fall over or whatever, and have the earplugs in my ears, you know. And
yeah.
It feels kind of scary.
Actually,
that's one thing. I think with all the USB sticks, you know, the new CDJs, the laptops, I think the headphones are the only thing that still distinguishes a DJ in the DJ booth. You know, it makes you look like a DJ. So.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned jumping up on the booth, and some of the footage I've seen, you seem to do that quite a bit and jump around. Now, you're a tall guy. How tall are you?
I'm 6'8".
6'8"? Yeah. So jumping on the booth, you're that much up there. So what's kind of your motivation in kind of bouncing all around the stage? Is that just kind of always been your thing?
I don't know how it happens. It's usually a blur afterwards.
A lot of Red Bull?
No, actually, stop. It's bad advertising, but I pretty much stopped drinking Red Bull. It just became too much. So. But I don't know. I get really excited about the music I play. And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't always do it. I don't always get up on the decks. But sometimes, if a night is fun and the people seem like, you know, they're up for it, I do it.
Have you had any crazy mishaps doing something like that? Any tragic accidents?
Well, let me think about that. I've jumped off the decks, the table, the DJ booth, and then like hurt my ankle and stuff before. And nothing.
Mid-set?
Nothing very. No, it's towards the end, so I just limped the rest of the set. But I know. Other than that, occasionally, like you get a cord or something, you're picking up something, you hit the cue button, and you're like, fuck. if you've been DJing for a while, you have a really quick reaction where you immediately press the play button again, and the music starts playing. So alright, you know, that's the most dramatic thing that can happen, pretty much. So.
Kind of on a random note, I noticed on your website you have this interesting poll going on right now about your favorite after late night favorite late night food.
Well, everybody gets something. Well, a lot of people get something to eat after they go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always do a little poll on my website just to see, you know, if people are coming out, checking out my stuff and being interactive. And just wondering, you know, what people like to eat. So if you have any suggestions for a new poll, please email them to podcast@menaudiyoung.com.
Okay. Yeah. And what have the results kind of been lately? I mean, what's in the lead? Is it what did you have?
Kebab is a clear winner. Yes.
Kebab is a clear winner.
I think fries was doing well in there. Okay. I think the biggest response definitely went to sleep.
So. Sleep. Yeah. Sleep. I don't even think in Vegas you can find a kebab somewhere.
No?
I the middle of the night,
you
probably
guys are
not.
Missing out.
Pretty much everything is like 24-hour casino food.
Yeah.
So it's like late night chicken fingers.
The food is really good so far. So.
Yeah. and kind of also speaking on your website, I noticed Alexander De Jong. Is that a relative of yours?
Yeah, it's my little bro.
Your little brother. He's doing drum and bass production.
That's it. Yeah, he's becoming pretty good.
Yeah.
He's very excited about it. He's in touch with some pretty big names in that scene and mm-hmm. working really hard. On a debut album, so who knows? I might be touring with him one day.
That would be
too wild. So.
Okay. And then also on music, are there any current remixes that that you're playing out on the road right now that would be cool for people to check out?
Gosh, I'm always really bad at mentioning music. I can tell you some of the stuff that's coming up on my label.
That'd be great.
Airbase, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a Swedish producer that's pretty legendary in the European trance scene. He's working on an album right now, and I'm testing a lot of his stuff on the road right now. It's getting a really good response. It's pretty up-tempo, and it's got a good energy. So,
mm-hmm.
And we have a new Orion release coming up. Mm-hmm. A kid called Orion Nilsson from Norway, also Scandinavian, and that's going to be a big one. It's called Sanctuary, and it's also the anthem for this beach party that we do for my label, Intuition, in the summer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's looking good. Other than that, I always have so much music with me that it's hard to pick a track that I'm always playing. So.
Speaking of the beach, do you have any plans for Winter Music Conference in Miami next month?
Yes, I've 2 gigs confirmed. There's some other stuff in the pipeline. I'm playing at the National Hotel on Wednesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dip-in pool party along with Cosmic Gate, Gareth
Emery. Oh, okay.
Daniel Vonroy and a bunch of other guys, so that'll be really big. And
big trance party.
Yeah, and Friday at Nocturnal.
Oh, okay.
So, and there's a couple of other things coming, so.
Okay.
It's looking good.
At Nocturnal or Ultra, or?
Nocturnal, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then just kind of to wrap it all up, is there anything that you particularly listen to when you're not working? Because I know you're always probably looking for music for your podcast that's every month.
Yeah, well.
You just prefer silence or something
no,
random
definitely.
Like country?
I always
or...
have music playing. It's okay. Unbelievable. And it annoys people that I'm friends with, whatever. It's like, but I don't know. I pretty much listen to anything. I play the piano, so I listen to classical music as well. I go to a lot of classical concerts. It's a good inspiration for the music I make as well. And other than that, pop music, you know, the occasional hip hop record, a lot of progressive techno, you know. I like to be influenced by whatever I hear out there. So.
Is there anything else that you think maybe we didn't cover that people should know about you or your music?
I don't know. Personal stuff or music stuff?
Anything.
Anything. Okay.
Pet peeves, maybe when you're playing in the DJ booth, too many drunk people up there, or girls bumping into CDJs?
I'm really hard at... I'm really, really bad at concentrating on multiple things at the same time.
So, okay.
When I get distracted, I'm really distracted. So when I'm playing, I usually just turn up the monitors really loud because I have earplugs in, so nobody can really come and talk to me anyways.
Just kind of scare them off.
It's not to be mean, but it's just when you're focusing on something, it's hard to, you know.
Right, well, it's kind
I shake hands and smile and take pictures, but occasionally people come in the DJ booth and they want to have like a full-on conversation with you whilst you're playing. I'm there, I'm playing for the people, I'm playing for the crowd. I can't go and talk to just one person.
Right.
Hanging out. Right. You know, afterwards, whatever, you know.
And, of course, the best place for people to find out more information about you would be?
Just Google me.
There you go. Google.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. It was great to chat with you again, and I appreciate your time. And good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Las Vegas nightlife and dance music scene news. Always be sure to check out LasVegasWeekly.com.